You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. So I have a question for you this morning. What do you say when you just don't know what to say? Have you ever found yourself in that situation where you just went blank? Or have you found yourself in a situation where you needed to choose quickly what to say when there's an endless supply of words running aimlessly through your mind? What is the wise thing to say? You know, Plato says wise men talk because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something. Well, I want to be the wise person, don't you? I want to be that wise man that knows what to say at the right time. We all do. If you struggle with that sometimes like I do, today is the show for you. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about our guest today. Let me just tell you a little bit about who you have the next hour at your disposal. It is amazing. Their names, Keith and Rebecca Scott. I first met them a couple of years ago. We were speaking together. We were both speakers at a Jory Fisher event. And I will tell you, when I saw this team in action, it just amazed me. It astonished me that people could take words and connect them to cause people to be so inspired. Keith and Rebecca co-founded a company, Tall Small Productions, with the mission of helping people that you and I who are listening today, helping us communicate in a clear, concise, and engaging style that results in action. I love that. That causes us to a call to action. Tall Small Productions leads communication. They lead communication training and team building workshops and have done such for such clients as PayPal, Toyota. They go into private schools. They do private work. They are amazing. And they work with public speaking, body language, leadership, crisis communications, and media training. I am telling you, this husband and wife team are amazing. And they launched their company in 2014. I see them on TV. I see them weighing in and making impacts in communication, in politics, in news, and in people's daily lives. These two, as busy as they are, give back to their community by emceeing fundraising galas and leading pro bono workshops. I will tell you, I know that you're as excited as I am, so I am going to welcome right now my friends and the communication experts of Tall Small, Keith and Rebecca Scott. Welcome, friends, to Coffee with Kim.
We are delighted to be with you.
We're very excited to be with you and love the inspiration and joy that you are giving people around the world.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just am so amazed. I love to see you all at work. But I'm telling you, that I look at this, I know people are wanting to know Tall Small Productions. Is there a reason behind that name?
Well, it may help that Keith is 6'9" and I'm 5'2". Also, my maiden name, Klein, means small in German, and it became my fate, as I always thought I would be tall one day, and it never happened.
And I remember when we first came up with this name, because we thought we don't want to be something boring like a Scott and Klein, or we thought, well, that's dull. We came up with this Tall Small, and we told our folks, and they said, you guys are crazy. That is a crazy name. That's never going to fly.
Imagine our poor parents. Here we are telling them we are dating at the time we were dating. We're starting a business together, and you could just see that fear spreading on all of their faces, even over the phone, because there's that don't put all your eggs in one basket, and we put more than that.
Absolutely. We put the whole dozen.
Yes.
But you know, the name is funny, Kim, because now people don't even remember our real names. They just yell out, hey, tall, small, when you're down the street or at a function.
And we love it. And then the line that usually follows is, we know you too from LinkedIn. We know you too from Facebook, as though that's a destination where we go hang out and meet people. But it's become that way.
Yes, absolutely. And you are unforgettable for lots of reasons. But obviously, I remember being at this workshop with Jory. And I mean, when you walk into the room, people automatically, you have a presence about you because of who you are, but you also have a presence about you because of the way you look. I mean, there he is, Keith, towering over your petite little person, and then the passion and the power oozes out of you. But I will tell you, I will never forget, because I volunteered to be one of the people to come up in front of the room. And as soon as I did that, I thought, Kim, what are you doing? But I volunteered to come up, and Keith led me through this activity where I put some words out there. But I was astonished at the way you two can take words and communication and put such an exclamation mark on what people want to say. What is the secret?
The secret is less is more. Keith will kill me when I say this, but shorter is sweeter. A lot of times people tend to clutter up their language with lots and lots of words that don't have meaning. And we help our clients take away all the excess. And that way the words that remain are the ones that are remembered.
And the second part that we emphasize every day with every client is authenticity. And you mentioned that we have a world with really bad news out there, a lot of fake images and ideas out there. And we work on helping people become their authentic self. Many times as we get older, we become robotic and we lose that inner child. And what we do is try to bring that child back, try to bring that person that you once were when you were hiking in the woods or playing in a stream or having fun with friends. Let's bring that person back.
And we do that through play. We bring along toys to a lot of our workshops, and we have our clients have fun and play. Sometimes they'll build with building blocks. And in doing that, as they're building up the walls with the blocks, their own walls come crashing down, and they're able to access parts of their thought that they haven't in years.
I think this is why I connected with you all on such a level, because that's, as you all know, that's what my ministry, my nonprofit is about, is breaking down those walls. And for healing, isn't this true? For healing to be our true, most authentic self, God says that he requires the honesty in our innermost parts. And we have, just like you said, Keith, we have built walls around that little girl, that little boy who's inside us. And I say so many times that we are walking around vertically on the outside, but on the inside, we're still crawled up in fetal position, crying, hurt, and broken. And what I see you all doing is it's making, helping people unleash that, break through that, and I admire that so much. So tell me more about the game, the role playing. I saw some of that in action. Would you like to share some of that?
Sure. One of the things we'll do, let's say we have a business where people might be having a hard time getting along. A department has a lot of breakdowns in communication. Instead of going in there and talking about what's happening, that elephant in the room, which will make people close right back up, we might have them all build structures individually about their communication styles. And then we'll have us begin to, they'll talk about what they built. And all of a sudden, you can see everyone's eyes getting wider as they understand better where other people are coming from.
As we go around different workshops, whether it's a Fortune 500 or working with a 17-year-old before they go to college, people are really, as you said, Kim, that inner child in a fetal position. It reminds us of our children. If they come home from school and we say, you know, how was your day? They'll say, fine. And what's going on? Nothing much. But if you throw a football with them, if you do some kind of action to bring back that child, then they'll talk with you. You know, adults, we try to, as you said, we try to play these roles like we're big actors, but we're really not. And we want to bring out that part in a person that they've lost, because that's where the healing begins.
And the only way to do that is to let them explore, go back to being that child, have fun with the play. And as they do, they find that all of their senses come alive in a far different way. And a lot of times, people will come to us, say individuals, and they'll say, I'm monotone, or I'm having a hard time with public speaking. And 15 minutes into a session, they realize, and we realize, that there's a far different challenge facing them. And when they can get closure on that or confront that,
yes,
everything else comes together.
I love that. I love that. I read not too long ago where and I would love your thoughts on this. This conversation is becoming a lost art replaced by just endless talk. What do you think about that? It sounds like exactly what you were saying. Too many words. Conversation is becoming a lost art replaced by just endless talk. How would you respond?
Well, I'll tell you, anytime you're in a line of Starbucks in any place with a group of people and you listen and eavesdrop on people on their cell phone conversations, you realize that exact thing. That
yeah,
people are just chattering. They're not getting deep. And that brings up a great point, Kim. One of the other aspects of why we started this company is because we realize that a lot of the people that talk endlessly, what we say the loudmouths of the world, always grab the stage. But it's the quiet people, the humble people, who don't always speak up. But we had a fear in this world that those quiet people, if they didn't speak up, they might have the solutions for cancer. They might have the solutions for some new safety device. But if they don't speak up, no one ever hears their ideas.
And it turns out that the quiet people and the loud ones often suffer from the exact same insecurities, and it comes off in different ways. And we love helping the quiet people come more out of their shells and giving permission for the people who are all talk to slow down and listen more.
Wow, that you have some lofty goals there. And what is so amazing is that I see how you come in and you're able to make this happen. Let me ask you, and you just said one of the reasons that you did that was because you want to hear those who maybe don't feel quite as confident in sharing their voice. Is that the reason that you felt like this company is so important? Because you do it so passionately. I know it's more than just what they, you know, people would say, making money. It goes so much deeper with you all. It truly is like a calling on your life. What makes it so important to you? Is there a personal dynamic to this, or is it just your calling? What would you think?
It's our calling to help people find their voices, to find comfort in their voice, and to not feel as though they have to wear costumes every day. It's a lot more freeing to rip off those masks and be who you are. And people find that it takes much less effort when they are themselves.
And this calling goes deep in the sense, and we both believe that as God created the world, our role is to help in the healing of the world. And what we can do as individuals to help in that healing is God created people, brilliant people, but because of life circumstances, they have shut down. And part of our healing calling is to help those people find their voice again, and through finding their voice, they heal people, and that's God's hand on the earth.
And it spreads very quickly. A lot of people get bogged down in thinking, I can't make a big enough difference in the world. Why try? There's nothing I can do. And Keith and I are amazed by the power of two, because it multiplies. If we help one person become a better, more comfortable version of themselves, that person will be a better mother, a better father, a better child, and it spreads like wildfire.
And that leaves a legacy for generations to come, because who knows how that person changes over time and what they do to instruct their children, how that impacts the people they work with. These are ramifications that could go on for generations just by the slightest little change.
Oh, I don't know. I probably need to send you my first book where I explain, and you're so speaking to my heart this morning, not only mine. I know each of our listeners, you're speaking to their heart, because we all have things so unlocked. We have so many things locked inside us. There's so much potential that is just lying dormant within each of us. But what really was the catalyst of my trying to find my voice, to find the comfort in speaking, the courage in speaking, Keith and Rebecca, was my mom's last words to me as she lay dying at the age of 51. 51. So I've outlived her 9 years. But at her deathbed, her final words to me were, "Don't live like I'm dying." And guys,
wow.
What she was saying was she never unlocked that inner child. She found herself pregnant at the age of 17, and you know, 60 years ago, that was not accepted the way it is now, and that shut a part of her down that she didn't have a tall small productions that could come and help her unlock that. She didn't have the burdens, the blessings that helped walk her through that, and so on her deathbed, she was saying what you are answering. She was saying, find something that can help you break through to be, like you said, Keith, your most authentic self. And I hear you talking, Rebecca, about you keep bringing it back to we're helping people be themselves, unlock who they are. That, to me, that's the secret. You're not trying to teach them the guidelines to proper conversation or the practical application of success. All of that seems to come naturally once you help these people, all of us, unlock our most authentic self. So you're taking us back to who we really are.
Tim, you need to be our PR person. The way you shared that was beautiful, and it's incredible to have somebody who recognizes that, because a lot of times we'll go into companies and they'll say, "Do you have a manual that you give out to everyone? Do you have a PowerPoint?" And Keith and I have said no to certain jobs over this because of the fact that we believe that would not be the kind thing to do to anyone, because there is no one prescription fits all. It's all individual. Even when we're working with a group, we let people know what works for one person is not the answer for another.
And the last thing we want to do, and there's a lot of people out there that do this, unfortunately, but they say, "Well, you want to model after us." We tell people, don't model after us at all,
right?
Because God gives every person a different gift. And that would be completely wrong in our book, because every person has a unique voice, a unique way of acting on that voice, unique body language, unique tone. And God made that perfectly to fit in for a reason. And so we just want to unleash it, but we want people to do their public speaking. Heck, they can be a million times better than us. We don't care. We just want them to feel that power.
And Kim, one way to feel that power, and we'd love to challenge all of your listeners today to try this at home or at work with someone, is to take a person who you want to get to know better and sit down with them and stare at each other in the eyes for a full minute without saying a word. And then reflect on what happened, and then have a conversation about the kinds of thoughts that hit when you did that. And that helps people to begin to unlock each other.
Wow. Now, listeners, I hope that you really try. Rebecca, will you explain that one more time? Because I think that's a step of action right there. And this is February. This is the month of love.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be love with a couple or friends or any type of relationship where sisters, where you really are trying to, I guess, break some barriers. So would you mind repeating that one more time so our listeners can really hear that?
Absolutely. Sit across from someone. It could be a loved one in life. It could be someone you don't know and want to get to know better, and stare at each other in the eyes for a single word. And after that minute is over, take a moment to reflect silently and then share the kinds of thoughts that hit. It could be what you learned about yourself, what you learned about the other person.
Wow. That's a really powerful exercise right there. I plan to use that myself. And I, again, just applaud you for what you all are doing. You're bringing us all back to who we are. And through that exercise, you're compelling us to think about what we're feeling, but also looking into someone else's eyes and to think about them. You know, the world just does not have enough of what you all are doing out there. And I just appreciate so much, because I believe, and I would love for you all to respond on this, because while you and I, our companies are so based on Facebook and we do so much, how would you respond to what are the thoughts that social media is doing with our communication skills? How good or bad or indifferent, what is going on with the social media that in our communication style?
Social media has created an outlet for people to have communication, to keep up with families, to keep up with current events, to join groups, and to find connections. So there's a positive, but everything in life has a positive and negative that you got to weigh in. It's also, though, caused a lot of people severe depression, because they think everybody's going on vacation. Everybody has a perfect family. Everybody is doing well and making more money. And those are the parts that are really destructive. And it's like anything in life. You have to understand its sense of moderation. And unfortunately, many of our young people, they don't get that experience, and they've lost the experience of how, what you talked about, Kim, having those deep conversations. We see that every day where young folks can't even complete a sentence looking at you in your eye.
To the point where when we teach at Towson University, there is inevitably a student every year when we ask a question, we're looking at that student intently to listen to their answer, they will say, "Why are you staring at me?" Because they're only used to being looked at by a screen.
So it's got a plus and a minus. It's similar to, in our minds, a snake bite and snake venom. You can get bit by a snake and die, but you can also use the same venom to cure your snake bite. So it's understanding the power on both sides and being aware of that.
And making a commitment to being real. At first, and this has been a learning experience for us, at first when we launched our company, we only shared the positives about our accomplishments and what we were looking for, motivational quotes. And then we realized that wasn't practicing what we preached to other people. And then we began to share more of our struggles along the way too, not to complain about them or to bring people down, but to say, hey, we're also experiencing this. And we ask other people to also be real on social media, because you're not helping anybody if all you do is show life's best moments.
Absolutely. You don't really make those deeper connections, do you?
No,
you don't make those deeper at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I would like to do. I'd like for us to go deeper in, you know, you have been very open about, Keith, about bipolar disease. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that when we get back. We're going to take a 30-second break, but I want to come back and talk about, you know, life is not perfect picture perfect for any of us. We each, every day, you know, there's that quote, be nice to everyone you meet, because everyone has a battle. And I just believe that so much. As a matter of fact, I believe it's through the battles that we relate, and it's through the battles that we really do find our greatest blessings sometimes. I believe it's in our battles that we are able to find our voice of hope. It's where we find our compassion. So when we get back, I would love to take the last half of the show, and yes, can you believe it's the last half of the show already, to come back. I knew this was going to just fly by. But can we just talk about the communication when things seem to be the hardest, whether it's a disease, whether it's a relationship problems that people are dealing with? Let's just come back and, like you say, let's get real this last 30 minutes. Does that sound good to you too?
Sounds
beautiful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we'll be back, audience, friends. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We are delighted to have you today, and we're especially delighted to have our guest. Before we come back on air, I'd like to to remind you that if you'd like to visit our website, please learn more about the Kim aspect of Coffee and Kim with the Roses and Rainbows Ministry. You can do that at our website, www.rosesandrainbows.org. Roses and Rainbows. Roses from the flowers that I sent to my mom to reconcile a very damaged relationship, to 9 weeks later when I saw that incredible rainbow standing after her death. No one knew when I sent the roses that she even had a diagnosis that was going to take her soon. So, you know, we're all faced with daily decisions on speaking, doing a call to action so that we really do find our most authentic self and that we complete the calling that God has on our lives, because each and every one of us, according to Jeremiah 29:11, each and every one of us were born, birthed with a purpose and a calling. And I believe that when we find that purpose, that is when we find our most passionate way of life. And I am delighted that my friends, Keith and Rebecca Scott, I started to say Klein, that's Rebecca's middle name, have created this company, and they work tirelessly at helping people find their most authentic self. So welcome back, Keith and Rebecca. Again, I'm so delighted that you're here, and I just honor you for having the mindset that you don't draw up plans, a blueprint, and say, follow this, and everything's going to be okay. Your work, your ministry, your way of helping people causes you to be very present in every situation that you go in, correct?
Absolutely. Every minute and everything that we do, you have to be completely present and there and real about what you're teaching, but also real about the struggles that each individual is dealing with.
Mm. So tell us about some of your struggles. You're very open, and I love this. I think that this is what draws people to you as well, because it's very easy, and like I told you before the show, it would be very easy to stand in your presence and be completely just mortified and overwhelmed because you all seem to have it so all together, and you're so good at everything that you do. But it's also nice to know that you have a few battles as well. So would you mind sharing with us a few of your battles or something that helped that you might
absolutely
use this conversation style in? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love sharing it because I think it's a blessing by God to have bipolar. And I'll tell you why. Many people will be like, what? I can't believe you think that. It's because every single day I have to monitor myself, have to look in my heart and figure out why I'm feeling a certain way. And then when I have the downs, when I have depression, I have to then figure out, well, how do I climb back out of it? So it's a constant struggle, but it's also a constant reminder that in life you have to constantly be creative. You got to constantly be striving to become a better person. And some days you go forward two or three steps, and then you go backwards a few steps. It's a constant struggle because when things seem rosy, in the next 2 hours they could go dark. And so you have to be mindful, and you also have to live in the minute. And many of us put off things, but bipolar tells you, you know, the next day could be bad. And so you need to live and honor the moment and the air and the sunshine that God gives at that time, because you don't know what the next step could be. And it's difficult. I mean, there are tough, tough days, days where you don't want to get out of bed, days where you don't want to see anybody, which really doesn't work well in our business. And you've got to find a way to overcome those things, because otherwise you could go to a really bad place in life.
So, Keith, what do you say? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. But I was going to say, I thank God that I have Rebecca in my life, because she is, in my mind, the most grounded person I know, and she can understand and help balance and give me perspective. When things look bad, she can give me an alternative perspective. And that is something that real friends and deep conversation do. When a person comes to you and has a conversation and they throw all these things, if you have a friend or a partner, spouse that can say to the person, but have you thought about it this way?
Mm. Can we do, you know, let's do a little role playing here. Let's just say you two, Keith, what do you say to yourself? Because I'm telling you, you're speaking to a lot of people. Bipolar may be something that you have been diagnosed with, but also there that what you just described, you do not have to be diagnosed as having bipolar to live what you're saying. You know, just the spiritual highs and lows, just the, you know, different things that come at us, dealing with devastation, living with, you know, past, you know, there's this constant battle many times. So what do you say to yourself that helps you at those dark moments? Because I know that there are people, I know I'm asking that question based on a lot of people right now. How do you start that inner communication when you start feeling the darkness coming on? And then I would like to follow that up with Rebecca. You know, when you see that, what are some things that you say to him?
One of the things that I say to myself when I see those dark moments, and it sounds corny, and I know it is, but I look in the mirror and I say, I love you, Keith. And I'll tell you why I did that, because when you have bipolar, and I found this for myself, and maybe other listeners have this too, you have a real low self-esteem about yourself, and you hate yourself. It's like a car, right? Our son was out looking for a car, and he's like, well, the car looks good. It looks real great. But I said, have you popped the hood? Have you looked inside? Have you driven it? Well, no, but it looks good. Well, a lot of things look good on the outside. But man, you pop that hood, and you could have all kinds of problems going on. Right? It's the same thing with bipolar. Right. People can look good on the outside, but they have a war going on in the inside. And I have a real problem of self-doubt, of frustration with myself, of anger. And it's really dealing with that anger management, anger at myself, anger at accomplishments, anger at my abilities to do certain things. I was not a good performer in school, so I have a lot of anger towards that. And it's dealing, the anger then can send you into a real depression. And so it's taken me a heck of a long time, but to understand that we have to love ourselves, not in a narcissistic way, but we have to be comfortable with who we are and say, it's okay. And to do that is extremely tough.
Thank you for that honesty. I think you've just spoken to so many people, Keith, and I, you know, and you share that downward spiral that we counselors would use as a term, you know, that you start that downward spiral, and it's like you catch yourself going down. You know you're going down, but you know it's that self interjection of, okay, how do I stop the spiral? So you gave people that go to that mirror and really face that person in your mirror. That is the first thing that we must do, isn't it? Rather than turning outwardly, we must turn inwardly and see that God says, you are my masterpiece. I did birth you with a plan. I do sing over you, and I am with you all along the way. To just that self-reinforcement, boy, we don't allow ourselves to do that often enough, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. And all of society says you need to be this, or you have to earn this, or you have to look like this. There's so many things out there that are telling you how you have to be and how you have to perform. But the most important thing is to love thyself, to understand thyself, as you said, Kim, and that God doesn't make mistakes. And no matter how dark it looks, there's a reason. You know, it reminds me of the old Japanese concept that when they take a broken vessel or a plate or a cup, they fill in the cracks where it broke with gold. And that gold then becomes the most beautiful part of the vase. That becomes the art. So it's in our broken places that we become stronger. So when I hit those downward spirals, while it's horrible being in them, I know that as I climb back out of that pit, I'll be stronger, and I'm going to better understand how to climb out of the mountain, or out of the pit, but how to climb upward again.
Absolutely. It makes me think of the scripture, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And that's not only our words to others, right, Rebecca? It's words that we speak to ourselves, too. Our words hold the power of life and death within our own spirit every day, every day.
They do. Our self-talk can sabotage ourselves, or it can make us sore. And a lot of times when the bipolar moments are about to hit Keith, I've come to know after being with him so closely for all these years, I can see it in his eyes often before it comes. And understanding if you are the partner to somebody who has bipolar or a partner to somebody who's going through anything in life, because a lot of the same symptoms that Keith described and feelings also happen when you're going through a divorce, when you're experiencing an illness, when you've lost someone, very similar things can manifest. And it's about recognizing at the time that what Keith may say or his voice is not him speaking, it's the depression speaking.
Firm believer, Kim, that there is a spirit of evil that comes over. I feel it in myself. Mm-hmm. I feel like the spirit, mm-hmm. and many times I have to say, you know, get back, get away from me. I'm not doing this right now. But I feel as though this dark cloud that kind of takes my soul comes over me. As Rebecca said, she can see it in my eyes. And it's almost so this whole thing just grabs me. And I find the fastest way to fix it is you isolate yourself, number one, and sleep. If anybody's out there that has these things, not getting rest. The number one way to cure any depression or anything is get rest, because I believe in your dreams and in your sleep, God comes down and fixes many things that we can't fix while we're awake in the natural.
And it's also the nourishment, because lots of foods can make the bipolar symptoms even worse. They can exaggerate them and make you feel much more. When you're feeling anything, a lot of times people get tempted to go get that ice cream or go have that extra treat to somehow make themselves feel better. But a lot of those things actually end up making us feel worse. And Keith has spent a lot of time also managing what he's putting into his body, because those highs and lows can get higher and lower depending on what you're eating or exercise. Keith goes to the gym every single day, and it's as much about having fun at the gym. It's really a medicine for him. He needs it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love, you know, when Keith was talking about the resting and the nourishment that you followed up with, Rebecca, it made me think of Elijah in the Bible when he went running out and he was so depressed because of things that were going on. And he goes, you know, I only God would just take my life. I mean, he was a suicidal person, and not saying that you were, but I mean, he was. But what happened? God came to him and said, and brought him food, and told him to rest by the tree. Mm. So, you know, it's so in line with exactly what God would tell us to do. Sometimes we just have to stop, and like you said, rather than that emotional eating, to think about going back to what Keith said, look at that person in the mirror and say, what is the best for you at this moment? And not to see that as a selfish act, but see that as an act that must be done for you to be your best self.
Or we're not going to be able to help if I'm not feeling good. I can't help anybody else. And so I have to do that and get the rest. And take some time and isolate yourself. This is another thing. You know, we're surrounded by people and situations, but we also need to take that time. As you quoted in the biblical scripture, we need to take that time away from other people, because that is when God speaks to us, in that silence. Yeah. I'm not saying that God can't on a busy Fifth Avenue street talk to you, but in the silence, you can hear things that you don't hear in any other place, when you don't have the distractions, when it's just you and God having a conversation. Those are the most precious times we can have.
And when Keith was mentioning earlier about the darkness that hits, that darkness will often tell Keith to keep on engaging. And if you're a partner to somebody, it's also about making sure that you let them be isolated and leaving the situation, because they need that time to come back down.
And removing people in your situation, because one of the things that I know in my bipolar is I suffer from anger issues. And if people are around me and I keep going but I don't give myself the rest, I don't become a nice person. I know that seems hard for people to believe, but I can become very angry and you know, and very upset, because what I'm doing in that anger, and I don't realize it, is I'm basically trying to alienate people to get them to get away from me instead of saying, I need this time. So I have to be really careful to say, I need the time. Otherwise, I'll say, oh, I'll be fine. I can keep going. But then I'm angry. And then I just isolate more people. And then I got to go back and fix situations and people that I've hurt. And that's not healthy. So I have to be really careful. It's like diabetes every day. You have to monitor the blood sample, and you got to look at yourself every day and say, am I okay? And then know when to throw in the towel for a little bit.
You know what? Why? Let me just tell you why Talk Small is so relevant and why it's so important and why it's seeing the success that it's seeing right now. It's because you two are doing within yourselves what you're giving to the world every day. And I love that authenticity. I will just tell you too, I love what you share. And I feel like the more authentic you are and the more you share about this, the more I want to hear everything you have to say. And I think that's the secret. When I wrote my first book, Burdens and Blessings, that the tagline is discover the power of your story. And what you are sharing is such a powerful story. It's your story, and you are engaging us and helping us to see life principles, because it's like exactly what you were saying, Rebecca. The feelings that Keith is having would be the same type of emotions we have if we're dealing with a child who's just, you know, gone off to college many times, and that emptiness and that those downs and lows, with a death of a loved one, a new diagnosis, all these different things that happen in life that are kind of like the roller coaster effect, the highs and the lows. Keith is showing us, stop, take a time out, make yourself priority some during the day. And we don't do that enough. So I'd love for you all to speak to the people who are listening who are feeling like, yes, I see myself in those highs and lows, Keith. I know exactly what you're talking about, Rebecca. Would you all just take a moment and speak directly to them about self-care?
The number one thing is to treat self-care the same way you would any appointment on your calendar. Many of us would never dare be 2 minutes late for a meeting with a stranger, but we would be the first ones to cancel a meeting with ourselves without even giving notice. Put times on the calendar for your self-time, and don't change those times, because the moment you dishonor those times, it's easier to do it the next time.
And that self-care, that healing of yourself, those times that you're in silence and that you take care of yourself are the times that you get inspired with new ideas and new wisdom and new thoughts about things. Those are the times that you solve problems in your mind that have plagued you for years, and you have new insights. And that's what God wants us to do, because God wants us to constantly be pushing ourselves, refining ourselves, become stronger and wiser and understand what God is telling us about the world. And that if we don't take the self-care, then we're not honoring God, and we're not honoring all this creation that God created for us.
And another way to do that is to get all the other spirits out of your head and name them, because a lot of us, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have this, and we all do, that inner critic that tells you you're not good enough, this isn't going to be worth it, this isn't real, it's not going to happen. Name that voice. Give it a name. It sounds corny. When we first read it, we thought it was silly, but it works. When you name that critic, you're acknowledging that it's not you. We weren't born with that critic.
Give me an example. I like what you're saying. Explain that a little bit more. What do you mean, name that critic? Talk to us about that.
Give it a physical name. For example, you could use the name Bertha. And if you hear that voice in your head that says, you can't do this, say, stop saying that to me, Bertha, or whatever the name is that comes to you. And it sounds silly, but it works.
No, I love it. I just love it. It's like, hush, hush, whatever
exactly. That
name is.
Exactly.
Yeah, just quit it. Because it's true. Don't you agree? We say things to ourselves that we would never say to anyone else.
Absolutely. We downplay ourselves and beat ourselves up, and we would never do that. You know, it's something you get on the elevator on a Monday morning and someone asks, how are you doing? I'm doing great. It was a great weekend. Everything's great. And then inside you're falling apart, right?
Exactly.
We do that all the time. We love it. We love it. When you get on an elevator, you meet someone, you say, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, it's a bad day. We love that. I mean, that's the person I love because they are just being real and saying, I mean, and I can't wait to talk to that person.
Exactly. You're automatically connected, aren't you?
Absolutely.
We go through life so much saying, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, fine. Let's do lunch. Yes, let's do lunch. You do it so much that you don't even, it becomes this rumble that's just always around you. We're all looking for that person who is their most authentic, who are daring to be authentic so that we can be our most authentic. Don't you think that gives us permission?
Absolutely, Kim. You put that so well. And one of the ways to avoid that charade is, let's say you ask someone how they are. The next time you do that and they say good, instead of continuing to walk away, say, tell me what's good. What's going on? What made your day? Ask a deeper question. Whether someone says they're having an okay day or a good day, ask another question to show that you're real.
And what's fun is to see their shock on their face that you asked a follow-up question.
You would not believe the things that people reveal when you ask that follow-up question, and it builds connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll never forget. I'll tell you all what began my healing, and confronting that person inside, confronting the hurt little girl or little boy on the inside is really what must take place first. I remember a lady walking into the grocery store. It was a very hard time in my life. I was in the grocery store. She walked up to me. She looked at me and said, hey, Kim, how are you doing? And then she kept on by saying, really, really.
Ooh,
you know, is that
like
that last? Yeah, I mean, it just brought me to tears because I knew that she really cared and she really wanted to know. And that's what I see in what you're doing, is that you're really bringing people back to who they are. Listen to this.
And
it says words. Go ahead, Keith, please.
I was going to say, and it brings back to the great point you mentioned of finding your purpose in life. A lot of people, and they won't admit it, but they're struggling to find that purpose. And that is many times why they go through life really empty. Finding your purpose has to be the number one, and you said this beautifully, Kim, but it has to be the number one purpose of your life. Because if you don't find that, I have a great fear of many people that leave this earth and just think, I just didn't figure it out.
And also always being open to receive gifts from others that might be their purpose, not gifts as in things you unwrap, but being open to experiences. I remember when I was pregnant with our daughter, Samara, who's now 12, I had some tests done during the pregnancy, and there was as high of a chance that she would have Down syndrome as the fact that she could die if I had the test to see if she had it. And I decided not to have the test, but had a lot of fears about what that life would be like, how I could be a good mom to a daughter with Down syndrome. And I was in a Panera in the bathroom, and in walked the most beautiful mother and daughter. The daughter had Down syndrome, was about 20, and the mom saw that I was pregnant, and she said, my daughter and I are best friends. Every Tuesday we come to Panera together. My daughter now lives on her own in a group home, and we are best friends. Our friendship is such a gift. And that's when you talk about God putting people in your lives at the right time, being there to accept that gift. And that was probably her purpose, to give that gift.
Absolutely. Just at the right time. That's a powerful visual of what you've just given us. And just opening our eyes to receive it. Yes.
It made it. It went from being a fear to something that I didn't even think about. And after Samara came out, it took me about 5 minutes before I said, is she okay? And the doctor said, what do you mean, is she okay? And I asked, does she have Down syndrome? No, but it was one of those weird moments where there was such a calm about whatever the outcome would be, that it would be wonderful.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I could truly listen to you all for the next 48 hours and not even blink or not even get up to eat. Now, that's saying a lot. I'm just telling you. I love your authenticity, and I love your passion to help others be their best. And there's a quote that I got off of one of your Facebooks or somewhere that you said, communication to a relationship is like oxygen to life. Without it, the relationship dies. Give us, we only have about 5 or 6 minutes left. I'd love for you to respond to that before I tell our audience how they can reach you. But tell us, in your words, why this thing, communication, is critically important to finding our purpose and finding our passion.
Communication is key to finding your passion, because communication, however you do it, with your body language, your tone, your actions, it's what God has given you as a gift. And if you take that, it's similar, you know, to the parable and the idea that you don't want to put a basket over a light, or you don't want to cover up a light. If God has given you this light, has given you this energy to communicate to the world, and you hide it and you don't bring it out and you don't find a way to become authentic, if you have a fear and judgment of other people, then you have diminished that one light. And every single person on this planet is vital to the healing of our world. And therefore, it's a responsibility, no matter what we do in life, to communicate our special talent to the world.
And when we do that with authenticity, we're not only bringing our own stress levels down, but we bring other people's down too. Because a lot of times there's a lot of cortisol release, the stress hormone, as people are feeling that they're not quite good enough, that they're sizing themselves up with someone else. And take that moment, slow down and look someone in the eye, take their hand. And when you do that, you're releasing oxytocin. That's the bonding hormone. And that is one of the best things you can ever do for someone, better than any word said. A lot of people say, I don't know how to communicate when life gets really tough. Remember always that communication is as much about saying something as saying nothing, and showing the communication.
And going back to what communication to yourself, Kim, is to remember that this too shall pass. And I think that's key with depression and darkness. You have to realize no matter how dark the night gets, that in the morning the light comes and you have a new day and a new opportunity. And this is another thing that I remember every day, is that every day is a brand new start, because the past is gone. The future, you really don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't exist. The only time is the present. And so every day is a fresh blessing to start anew. And if you think that way, you can let all the things of the past just go away.
Gosh, I just love everything about this. I've been taking copious amounts of notes all through this. Let me just please tell our audience how they can reach you.
You can reach us anytime on our website, which is tallsmallproductions.org. We are also on Facebook. Our handle is Tall Small Productions. And if you reach out to us, we will reach back within the same day.
And to talk about any of these issues that we talked about, any of these opportunities, we are here and we have a mission to make it a better world. That's the mission we should all have. You know, money is a side component of that, because you got to pay the bills and survive. But we're big believers if you do the right thing, if you do what God commands, the other stuff will come along.
Absolutely. I love that scripture. Is it Matthew 6:33? I can't remember, but it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. And I do believe that, Keith. I believe that. I believe that God truly did birth each and every one of us. And for you, the listener, please remember, God really did. He did birth you just as much as he did Keith and Rebecca, everyone around you. You are birthed with a purpose. And remember this profound statement that these two have just made, that you are one light, but it's a power light, and it is vital. I wrote this down, Keith. You said, it is vital that you share that light with our world. I love that. So for each listener, please take that to heart. Please do what Keith has suggested that you do. Go stand before that mirror and talk to yourself like Rebecca has encouraged you to do. Look at the good things about who you are. Open your Bible. Let God speak to you. His word is alive, and it's real, and it's active, and it will go into the darkest places of our heart and our life, and it will speak to us, and it will guide us. And God brings along people like the incredible Tall Small production, and he brings this authentic, passionate people who we can reach out to that can help us sharpen our skills and allow us to let our light shine. Rebecca, Keith, I cannot thank you enough. I love you. I adore you. I honor what you're doing. May God always bless you and continue. We need you in our world. And so thank you for battling whatever needs to be battled on the inside so that you can keep all of us inspired and motivated to be our best. Thank you so very much for joining me this day.
And Kim, thank you for everything you do, for being a vessel to share to everyone, for being an incredible voice for all of your listeners. And I cannot even begin to count or imagine how many lives you touch through this radio show, through your presentations. We are honored to spend this hour with you.
Absolutely, Kim. Your energy, your ability, what you're going to do for the world that we exist in, and your enthusiasm, it's amazing. It comes right through the phone. Like we were talking about this, we can feel it. That is your gift because you heal people just through the tone of your voice.
It does feel like we're sitting all at the kitchen table together. You have that incredible power to make yourself feel present, and that must be incredibly soothing for people out there who are going through tough times right now.
Well, I thank you so much for that. And I, too, just like the two of you, have had very deep battles and still battle, you know, lots of abuse, lots of things, but, you know, but that's the hope. I'm like you, Keith, when you said, I don't mind having this disease, this bubble. See, the same with me. The things that we are getting through are things that we extend as hope to those around us. So I so am on board with you all. I believe the more authentic we can become, the more we share what we have gone through, the greater our voice becomes in this world. So I just, again, thank you all. Please, will you promise me right here, I'm just going to just do it right now, will you just promise me that we'll do it again one day?
Absolutely.
And I want to talk about the body talk. What do you, I want to do it in person too. I am going to come up with something. We're going to do something together. We're going to do lots of something together.
We love that.
Thank you.
Well, we love you so much. Thank you again. And for listeners, thank you so much for joining us. This hour has gone by so quickly. We'll be on podcast soon. Please pass it around. And if you need someone to come to your next event, or if you're just looking for a personal way to express yourself a little bit and more authentically, then please reach out to Tall Small. Their information is all over my website. They would be delighted to help you. So, again, thank you, everyone. We'll see you back at Coffee with Kim next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.